Thank the Lord for our church. I tell you, I've been in a lot of churches. And I've never been in a church with this much talent. As far as singing, playing the music, and God's blessed us, amen. And we ought to be thankful, amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Numbers chapter 13. How many of y'all saw this week on Facebook Preacher Trevor's post about the grass?
Amen.
That thing kind of struck me a little bit this week. Juwan was listening to it and I was listening to it. It's just real. You know, a lot of us deal with things and we'll cut it off and be good for a few weeks and then it'll come back. About like that grass, if you don't get it up by the root, it keeps coming back, amen? So some of the stuff you're dealing with, you need to find the root of it.
Amen.
And get it out of your life, amen?
Amen?
I ain't going to preach about that, but that'd make a good one, amen? Numbers chapter 13, when you get there, let's stand for God's word. I'm going to read the last part of the chapter. Very familiar scripture to anyone that's been in church for any amount of time. I want to preach a little while on this thought. Why were they defeated? Why were they defeated? Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Let me just stop right there. What they had done when they went in to spy this country, they found a cluster of grapes.
Yeah.
And the Bible says they cut it off on that cluster, and it took two men to tote it. They come back and they said, You were right. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruit.
Yes.
Nevertheless.
Amen.
My. Nevertheless. The people be strong and dwell in that land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. 29, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb sensed what's going on, and Caleb says, Hold on a minute. We got this. We got this. Verse 31, But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants. Now listen to this part right here. This blew my mind when I read this today. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. They said, We went in, we saw the giants, they're strong, and in our own sight, we were as grasshoppers. The giants didn't call them grasshoppers.
Right.
Nobody else called them grasshoppers, but they were so afraid that they looked at themselves as a grasshopper. Something very weak. Why were they defeated? Let's pray. God, we love you. And we come to you in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us. God, I pray, God, you'd give us strength tonight, God. Help us to see who's on our side, God. Help us tonight, dear God, not to have a defeated mind, not to have a defeated attitude, God. God, I pray, God, you would move in this church, God, and help me as I do my best to preach and get out of your way, Lord. I love you, and I thank you for answering prayer, God. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight. God, I pray, God, you'd speak to each and every individual tonight. And we'll praise you and we'll honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. When you start studying the Bible and you start listening to the Bible, and even songs that we sing, and this is just kind of by way of introduction before I really get into the main part of the message, we sing about Canaan land. Our choir sings, Canaan land is just in sight. You start listening to a lot of preachers, and a lot of preachers, they want to, and I'm not knocking older preachers that done this, and I never thought about this until I got to studying this early this morning. They talk about Canaan land as a type of heaven. But I just want to just throw some few little things at you tonight that lets you know that Canaan land is not representative of heaven. Canaan land is a goal that they were trying to get to. I mean, we ought to all set goals in our life that we want to get to a better place. We want to get to a more spiritual place. And if you want to get to a more spiritual place, what we're going to call Canaan land, then there's going to be some enemies that you're going to have to fight. There's going to be some fear that you're going to have to get over, amen? So why is Canaan land not heaven? Number one, in Canaan, there was enemies. In heaven, they ain't none. That's your point to shout right there, amen. When we get to heaven, Jackie, there ain't going to be no more enemies, amen. Hey, Canaan land, there was sin and sorrow and death. In heaven, there's no such thing, amen. So in Canaan land, so we can see that Canaan land is not representative of heaven. In Canaan land, there was defeat. The first time was at Ai. When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no defeat. Glory to God. Satan's already been defeated. In Canaan land, Israel backslid and was cast out. And after we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no backsliding and there ain't going to be no casting out. Amen. If we can just get there, Dale, everything's going to be all right. So listen, I believe in, and you'll probably hear a sermon on this for too long, about how Canaan land ought to be a spiritual place that we strive to get to. But it ain't heaven. Now let's get to the message. So why were they defeated? It was an unfaithful testimony. The ten came back with an evil report. And if we ain't careful, I was talking to a preacher today, and he was talking about what he was going to try to preach on tonight, and he was talking, Mark chapter 4, I believe it was, or 14, I can't remember, it said, he was talking about how Jesus was asleep in the boat. He said he was wondering why did Jesus, the only place you find in the Bible where Jesus was asleep in the boat, and then he got talking about why in the world did all these men that had walked with Jesus and saw the miracles, why in the world did they have enough faith? I mean, they knew if Jesus was on the boat can't go down, amen. We realize that. And if we ain't careful, we want to jump all over these disciples. And we want to jump all over these here folks that come back with the report. 10. How many times do we do the same thing? How many times are we just as guilty? You know, when we think about, let's look at what they were facing. Okay? I read it to you, but I'm going to break it down just a little bit, okay? Let's look at verse 28 and 29. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and in the coast of Jordan. Anak, anytime you see Anak in the Bible, that is, Anak was the father of the giants. Most people believe if you could take a Goliath and trace his lineage back, it would come back to Anak. So this, the father of the, this represents the giants in our life. Yeah. Amen. How many times do we have giants in our life? I talked about a while ago about Preacher Trevor with the root. What's the root of the giant that you're facing right now? That's the father of the giant. They were facing Anak. Then the Bible talks about the Amalekites. Anytime you see the Amalekites in the Bible, that's always going to be a representation of the flesh. This is the hardest thing you'll ever deal with in your life right here. I have more problems out of this right here than ever devil that's ever come against me. Somebody say amen right there. I can rebuke the devil, but how do you rebuke your flesh? So this is what they were facing. How does your flesh fight you? Dallas kind of hit on a little bit last night in Master of Men. How does your flesh fight you? Then the Bible goes on, it calls on the Hittites. Hittites represent Israel's adversaries and God's adversaries. So we realize and we understand that we have an adversary, the devil, walking about seeking whom he may devour. So they were facing a type of Satan as they were going in to this land. The Bible talks about the Jebusites. They were representative of the resistance and challenges that God's people had in setting up the kingdom in Canaan. What kind of challenges are you facing right now in trying to set up the kingdom of God in your life? Some of us are still fighting battles that we've been fighting for 20 years. Amen. Say amen. Some of us are still fighting battles that we should have been over a long time ago. That's the challenge of being a Christian. That's the challenge of walking in the Christian faith. That's the challenge of living life every day. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop. Sometimes we're in the valley. Sometimes I'm casting out devils. Sometimes the devil's beating me up one side and down the other. Sometimes I got more faith than I know what to do with. And other times I'm trying to hide behind a rock somewhere because I'm scared to death of what's going on in my life. The Jebusites. Then we talk about the Amorites. The Amorites represent the pagan population that was in the land of Canaan. In other words, idolatry and wickedness that were in direct contrast to what God wanted for his people. How many times do we have things in our life that's in direct contrast as to what God wants to be in our life? Think about that. What do you have in your life right now that's in direct contrast to what God wants you to be and what God wants you to have? So if we ain't careful, you know, we come back and we say, I don't know what in the world's wrong with them 10 spies. They knew what God could do. So do you. I just don't know about them 10 spies. They saw what God did. So have you. I thought about, you know, as I was studying, they had enough faith to come out of Egypt, but they didn't have enough faith to go into Canaan land. They had enough faith to walk through the Red Sea, but they didn't have enough faith when they carried back two men had to carry a cluster of grapes, and they didn't have enough faith to say, hey, we can take that land. We need to kind of keep things in focus. Because if we ain't careful, sometimes we'll get all holier than everything else, and we'll think we all that, and we're in the same boat. We're in the same boat. They doubted God after all God had done for them. They doubted God after all God had done for them. As I was talking to that preacher today, he and I were talking, kind of bouncing some things off of each other. He said something to the effect of those disciples that were in that boat with Jesus while Jesus was asleep. They had saw him manifest and feed 5,000 men. They saw him do miracles. But yet when he went to sleep and water started getting in the boat, it's all right when water's in Donald Boone's boat. It's all right when water's in Ralph's boat. But it's a whole different story when water gets in my boat. Amen. I can tell you how to live. I can tell you how to bail. I can tell you how to get Jesus up, amen. But when water gets in my boat, oh my Lord, he's done it for, he'll do it for Jason. I just don't know if he'll do it for me. That's our attitudes. All what they had seen God do, and they still doubted him. The Bible says in Psalms 106, this is talking about, now listen, Psalms 106 verse 21 says, they forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, and had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their hearts, and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. That's how we do. That's how we do. Now listen, I never thought about it like this. They rejected God's plan. They rejected God's man. When you reject God's word, listen, when you reject God's word, when you reject the preaching of God's word, when you reject the message of God's word, you reject God. In other words, if the preacher's preaching on tithing and you just say, I ain't going to tithe, you reject God's word. If the preacher's preaching on being faithful and you get mad at the preacher for preaching on being faithful, you not only rejected God's man, you not only rejected God's word, you rejected God. Moses sent these men out. You got to understand, Moses sent these men out not because Moses was worried about what was in the land. Moses was ready for them to come back and tell everybody how great the land was. They were to come back, Preacher Trevor, toting grapes that two men had to tote, telling, hey, there is land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It is the greatest thing we've ever saw. Let's go take what God's given us. But no, they didn't come back like that. They come back belly aching and griping and complaining, and they had 40 more years in the wilderness. How many times, folks, do we miss God's blessings? God's got it right there. That, folks, they were right there. In a matter of months, they could have taken the land of Canaan. They could have went in and been set for the rest of their life. But they rejected God's plan, and they rejected God's word. Folks, we got to make up our minds. I'm doing it the way God said do it. I'm staying with God if it hair lips everybody in Congress. I don't care. I'm staying with God. If everybody gets mad at me, I'm staying with God. I'm staying with the word. If nobody else stands with me, I'm standing alone. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not leaving the Lord. So what did all this teach us today? Teaches us we need a cleansing. The word Kadesh, when you go back and study this, the word Kadesh means sanctuary. If you go back and study it, in other words, it means a holy place. Now, the Bible talks about in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So it's a cleaning up that you and I are going to have to do. We're going to have to clean up some of the things in our life. We've got to clean up some of the doubt in our life. We've got to clean up some of the sin in our life. If we can clean our lives up, what can God do through us?
Amen.
Think about this. Dale, I'm going to pick on you. How far along could you be today if you'd have done everything God told you to do? That blows your mind, don't it? That blows my mind. How far along in this Christian walk could I be if I'd have done everything God told me to do, if I'd have laid aside every sin and the weight which does so easily beset me? How far along could I be? I wouldn't be wandering around in the desert. I'd be in Canaan land.
Amen.
Not only a cleansing, a crossing. Kadesh was a place to cross over into. It was not the end goal, but it was a place they wanted to get to. Our end goal is heaven, amen. But our goal right now are to be sanctified. Our goal right now are to be as close to God as we possibly can.
Amen.
Because if I'm as close to God as I possibly can, then my marriage is going to work a whole lot better if I'm as close to God as I possibly can. If I'm as close to God as I possibly can be, then my bank account's going to look a whole lot better, amen. If I'm as close to God as I possibly can be, then my health is going to look a whole lot better, amen. If I'm as close to God as I possibly can be, everything else is going to work out a whole lot better.
Amen.
Like I've been saying for the last several months, if we'll lift up Jesus, everything else will fall into place. It was a crossing over. Then there was a crisis. Now listen. Listen. The crisis was the only other alternative into taking Canaan land is going back into wilderness. What's your decision going to be tonight? You're either going to have to make up your mind, I'm going forward, or I'm going to stay in this desert. I'm going with God, or I'm going back. Like the old song says, I've come too far to turn back now, amen. See, the thing about it is, we already fighting. We already fighting Anak. We already fighting the Amalekites. We already fighting the Jebusites and the Hittites, and we're already fighting all them. So why don't we just go on into Canaan land and fight them with God? Why don't we just go on and get what God has for us? Amen. I remember I did this illustration years ago. And back when Blake was little, Blake was probably about 8 or 9 years old at that time. And I give this illustration that my granddaddy, when I was little, had a double-barrel shotgun, old double-barrel Fox. Now it's a very expensive gun. And my daddy said that when my granddaddy would come in from hunting, I was a little thing. I wasn't but about 4 years old when granddaddy died. But granddaddy would unload that gun, and I'd take it and drag it through the house. So my granddaddy told my daddy, when that youngin gets old enough, that gun's his. And so when Blake was little, I done told Juwan, when he gets old enough, that gun's his. I had the gun. It was already his. The day Blake was born, that gun was his. He wasn't able to use it. He wasn't able to carry it, but it was his. It was already there, Dale. He just had to mature into it. That's what God's got for us. Canaan land was already there. I mean, the grapes were already there. The milk and honey was already there. They just had to mature into it, and they did not on this day. Are you ready? Edna Butterfield. Brother Ralph, come back to the pen. Edna Butterfield wrote this. Said, my husband Ron once taught a class of mentally impaired teenagers. Looking at his students' capabilities rather than their limitations, Ron got them to play chess, restore furniture, repair electrical appliances. Most important, he taught them to believe in themselves. Young Bobby soon proved how well he had learned that lesson. One day, he brought in a broken toaster to repair. He carried the toaster under one arm and a loaf of bread under the other. He believed in himself.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What do you need tonight? What are you facing tonight? What enemies are fighting you tonight? Lord, we love you.